B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour number two, Felger and Maz here on Agenda Free Friday, and that is Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Longest commercial-free segment. Matt McCarthy's in to help out with headlines today. Murray's alongside. And just a reminder that Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. We're going to get right back to your calls, largely caller-driven today, as you all know. And but we will be sprinkling in a couple of other things through the course of the day. Some interesting stuff from the last 24 hours or so. Both of those are concerns, Major League Baseball. And some other topics. And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, on one of Murray's favorites. He had something to say that I think will interest Jim Murray. We'll get to that a little bit later this hour. But let's go to Richie and Quincy on the Red Sox game tonight. Again, Red Sox open against the Orioles at Fenway Park at 7:30. Richie, go.
Are you getting me, Bus?
What?
You have me?
Yeah, we got you, Richie. What do you got?
I'm holding like a pizza.
Okay, terrific.
Maz, I've already told your buddies next to you, you're the second best baseball writer in the world.
Second best? Who's first?
Jim Murray of the LA Times.
Yeah, that was worth leaving him on for just to see where he was going. But I probably left him on a little bit too long. If he's holding it like a pizza in one hand, Murray, what do you think's in the other hand?
A 40?
A beverage of some sort. Steve's in Woburn. Steve, go.
In Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah. Steve, go. Yeah, what do you got?
Hello, Steve.
Steve!
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
First time caller.
Okay.
Long time listener.
Excellent.
Yeah, my thing is with the Red Sox is doing three teams probably better than the American on their schedule. I'm looking at the Marlins, Orioles, and Jays. Other than that, I don't know who they're better off in their schedule. I'll hang up and listen to that.
Okay, I'm not sure that they're better than the Jays. So this is one of the things I wonder, too, and this isn't me just being a dick. So the idea that the Red Sox, and they should make the playoffs in the top eight. Murray, are you convinced that they will?
Yes, to spite me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Jones on this. They so don't deserve it. Now that they've expanded the playoffs, they're of course going to get in.
Okay, so I'll tell you what.
The lineup's good enough. They'll hit their way in, winning games 10, 9, 8, 7.
Okay, so I will tell you that I think they should make the playoffs. Okay, they should. I'm not convinced they will. I think there's a chance that they could be really bad. Really bad. And they shouldn't be, but I think there is that possibility. So Matt McCarthy. Because, again, you're a baseball junkie. Okay, last year in the American League, the Red Sox finished, I believe, with the seventh best record.
That's correct.
Okay, they were literally smack dab in the American League last year.
Right, sucky American League. That's
okay,
correct.
So I am going to go through the teams that made the playoffs last year, or I'm going to go through the standings in the American League last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, that's what we have to go on as of right now. And then you're going to have to factor in offseason moves and everything else and tell me whether you think that team is... Whether you think the Red Sox are definitively better than that team right now.
Okay.
Okay?
This should be easy.
Okay, so from top to bottom, starting with the number one seed in the league last year, Houston.
Better than the Red Sox.
Okay, the Yankees.
Better than the Red Sox.
The Twins.
Better than the Red Sox.
Oakland.
Better than the Red Sox.
Tampa Bay.
Better.
Cleveland.
Better.
Okay, so that's six.
Yeah.
That's six. That means there are only two spots left. Okay? And again, that's assuming we're going literally top eight. The top two teams in each division will make it,
right,
and then two
sure.
others. Okay, but let's just go top eight to make it easy. So those six you say are all better. Then the Red Sox are seventh. Now, the next teams, Texas.
That's close.
Okay, Texas has Corey Kluber now. The difference between the Red Sox and the Indians last year, the Rangers, was six games. So the Rangers have added Kluber, and the Red Sox have lost Sale, Price, Porcello, and Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'd take Texas.
And Mookie Betts.
But it's close. I'd take Texas, but it's close. It could go either way. I think Texas overachieved last year, so I'm factoring that into.
Okay, the White Sox.
They're better than the Red Sox this year.
That's a team that's like young, hungry. That's a, you know, Tim Anderson, Lucas Giolito is pretty good. Like, That team, they seem like they could be fun, like a young, hungry team that could make some noise this year in a 60-game season.
Okay, so that one to me is a coin flip. Like, so maybe I'm saying the same thing you guys are. I don't think the Red Sox are definitively or clearly better than the White Sox. Not with this pitching staff.
Well, I think the White Sox are better than them. I would say definitively better than them.
Blue Jays.
The Red Sox should be better, but it's close.
Coin flip.
Now we're getting into the coin flip territory, Matt. I see where we are. We're around 8th or 9th in the American League.
Okay, so I look at that and I say, I think those games with Toronto are huge. I've said this all along. I think that's going to decide their season. You're going to play Toronto 10 times. If they go 6-4 against you, you're porked.
And they have a legitimate starter in, number one starter in you who they got from
the Dodgers. Right, yeah. He's a free agent. That's right.
But they can mash just like this team can.
Okay, Angels.
I think the Red Sox are better than the
I still think the Red Sox are better, but it's the same. You know, we're talking about kind of the same teams. They could go either way there.
Okay, I'm not convinced they're better than the Angels. What if Ohtani pitches the whole year? And he's going to. I mean, he's going to start on, like, Ohtani to me is a game changer out there.
The Angels have that.
Yeah, there's
Angels
something, right?
Thing.
There's
yeah.
They find ways to lose.
Forever loser thing.
Yeah, they find ways to lose. I don't disagree with that. There's something about, there's a stain there that the Angels are always worse than they're supposed to be. Totally agree with that. But the point is this. The Red Sox are fighting for two spots with Texas, the White Sox, the Angels, and the Blue Jays. That's four other teams. Three of those teams aren't going to get in. You're telling me that the Red Sox guaranteed are not going to be one of those three? Well, I'm not convinced of that.
And I'm feeling pretty good about this.
I'm not convinced of that. Murray, you got a chance, pal.
Yeah.
You got a chance. Yeah. Murray now has a reason to watch the baseball season. There you go.
Baseball reporter scheduled in September 30th.
Schadenfreude. He'll be rooting against the Red Sox because he knows there's now a chance they could miss the playoffs. Murray, I'm not joking. Any one of those teams or any combination of those teams could be better than the Red Sox. There's a chance they could be the fourth worst team in the league. I would not rule that out.
They're better than Seattle.
So the fifth worst team in the league. What's the difference? Connor's in Brighton. Connor, go.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Friday. I just had a couple takes from the game last night. So how perfectly ironic is it that not only does it start raining on the Yankees Nationals last night, it starts pouring. And there's lightning. I mean, that's just the most MLB 2020 thing I've ever heard. My second take was after seeing the Fauci first pitch, honestly, I think he could be a fifth starter in the Sox rotation.
He's better than a lot of what they got. I think Beadle tweeted out that he's better than Ryan Brazier after watching that game the other night. I can't say I disagree with him on that one. So, look, the rain thing, everyone's going to jump on it. Maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe it's just evidence of how baseball's barely getting this thing in. That's really what the message is, right? They barely got the game in last night. They're barely getting the season in. They're doing very little to inspire your confidence. Now, thankfully, there weren't 50,000 people in the stands last night sitting through 2 hours.
I rarely give that sport credit, but I give them credit for actually playing that game because, for one, they knew that rain was coming and it was going to be serious for more than 24 hours. There was talk the day before, they might have to cancel because of the rain. And then you had the Soto COVID test, and that he had practiced as an asymptomatic carrier around his teammates for like a day or so, and that was another reason for them to tank it, and they still hammered it through. So I give him credit for even, playing until the point that they did when they actually had to call the damn thing.
I mean, I half expected that they weren't going to get the game in at all.
Right, after that COVID test yesterday, I was like, oh, they're not going to play this thing. You couple that with the bad weather coming, they're gonna bag it. And they didn't. So credit to them.
I'll take the five innings.
Me too.
Again, I was happy to just see some sort of live competitive event involving real athletes and American team sports. I was happy to see that last night. And so, look, the Red Sox are on the field tonight. We'll see what they look like. We'll see what the atmosphere is like and the environment is like. Someone said this to me today, and I'm not basing it solely on last night. Okay, I'm also basing it on the games that the Red Sox played against the Blue Jays here, one of which was rain-shortened as well. Does the pace of play seem exactly the same to you, or does it seem a little bit better?
I watched like three innings of Dodgers Giants. I thought it kind of went at a good clip that game. I didn't see much other than highlights this morning of that first game. And I'm going back to watching a bit of the first scrimmage between the Blue Jays and Red Sox. It felt the same to me. I don't know. If it's changed, it's only by a tick.
Okay. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I think, and listen, based on the scrimmages, they were playing a little bit quicker than I saw. I was just thinking, if you can keep that kind of scrimmage mentality when people aren't in the ballpark, maybe that somehow helps the game.
So the Dodgers game last night, I think, was 254. Okay, not that that's any great shakes, But given that the average time in MLB last year was the longest in history, it was approaching, I think, 315, 320. It was the longest game. So the last night was, I do feel like the games are moving a little bit better without fans in the stands. And again, it's only been a couple of games. It might be purely a figment of my imagination. But I wonder now if without the fans in the stands and with all this going on, if the players are on the field and are actually just playing the game. And it's moving like it's supposed to move. And not even, I shouldn't even say that. It still moves too slow. But it's better than it was, I think. I think. And so, you know, that Red Sox game the other night with Ryan Weber, they were through five and a half innings in an hour and a half. And then the thing slowed down when you brought in the arson squad from the bullpen. And that was the end of that. So, but that game ended up 254. It was not 3.5. I thought that it feels to me like there's a little bit of an improvement, a little. And it makes you wonder if maybe we're better off not letting the fans back in the stadium at all when this thing's ready to go. Like, if that's what it's going to be, I can live with that versus the 3.5. I do just a little bit. It feels like there's less crap and less nonsense, and it's moving a little bit better. Just a little. But under the circumstances, I'll take it. I mentioned Mike Florio, one of Murray's favorites. We'll tell you exactly what he said here when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's just something about the entire way he's conducted himself since becoming a free agent that rubs me the wrong way. Because we know there was
tampering. You're not alone, Mike.
We know.
Yeah.
We know that he wasn't showing up at Byron Leftwich's house to pick up a playbook.
Right.
We know that the bags he dropped on the floor of the house he accidentally walked into had footballs in them. We know this guy's been doing whatever the hell Tom Brady wants to do. Right? He's got 20 years of football equity. He's got 6 Super Bowl championships. He wants to prove the Patriots wrong. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do because nobody's going to do anything to him about it. And that just kind of bothers me because it's clear that there's a set of rules that applies to him that doesn't apply to everyone else.
Yeah, it bothers people in the NFL. I know that.
Football talk, Mike Florio and Chris Sims. The majority of that cut was Florio. Murray, what do you think of that?
I can't help but laugh. I mean, there's a reason I'm blocked by this bored woke mom, as I've referred to him before. Like, he drives me crazy. And I can't take him seriously because I think we all know what aisle politically that Florio's on, right? And if you had to guess, do you think Brady still probably supports Trump? Right.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think they're on opposite sides.
So he shows more anger at Brady for continuing to practice and thumbing his nose at the league and, you know, everything that he just said there. So why not the same thing for, I don't know, Russell Wilson's been practicing around the same time that Brady was posting all that stuff on Instagram. Cam Newton all over Instagram practicing, you know, working with his new teammates on the Patriots. He has more anger for Brady and practicing and thumbing his nose at the NFLPA and not wearing a mask and harump, 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 than he did. Literally, I mean, it's because I do still get these tweets of people being like, can you look at this? Can you believe this? Like, I'm blocked by him, but I can still read profootballtalk.com. I find it interesting.
He has literally blocked you on Twitter?
Yeah, yeah. Even though I didn't even follow him anymore, but people are continuing to at mention me and mentioning him. It's a whole thing. It's funny. But he shows, I just find it funny that he shows more anger at Tom Brady trying to practice his craft and stick it to Belichick and prove he still gets something left in the tank at 42 years old than he did towards DeSean Jackson and what he said a few weeks ago. I mean, he did. He really kind of like downplayed that and was like, oh yeah, what are you going to do? I can't take the guy seriously. I think he's an a-hole. So that's all I hear when I hear that.
I mean, so I'll tell you the funny part to me, and I, you know, Jimmy Stewart linked to this morning, and when I watched it and listened to it, is that they were really talking. They started the whole discussion about Brady with the tweet that Brady put out about the NFLPA here in the last day or two. And to me, Brady's comment about supporting the NFLPA and the leadership of the players' union, and to me, is laughable. I think Brady trying to present himself as a union guy is like a freaking joke. I think that is an absolute joke. So I think Brady deserves criticism for that.
Yeah, he's only aligned himself with the union when it's been convenient for him, or when he had the legal fight against the league 4 years ago. You know, I'm with you on that. Like, he's not a tried and true pound the table union guy. He's never been that. He never will be.
I mean, is Florio really that mad that Brady showed up at Byron Leftwich's house with a bag of footballs?
No, I think it's more about political leanings. If gun to my head, that's what I really think that it's about.
I mean, the idea that football players are working out together. And, you know, and when Chris Sims says, yeah, I think there are people around the league that agree with you, Mike. I've heard from people around the league that are upset with it. Every time Chris Sims opens his mouth, and I like Chris Sims, but I feel like it's coming straight from the Patriots.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like it's coming straight from the Patriots. I don't know how else to take that. Like, what, the Patriots are upset about it? Who's really pissed off that Brady's working out and throwing footballs to people? Is that really worthy of discipline from the league? Is that really worthy of discipline? Like, is Mike Florio going to be, is he one of these guys that, like, runs around and sees if people are actually practicing in pads because it's a violation?
I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, come on.
He's the worst.
Are we going to realize, is that the type of stupid crap we're going to do now? Because there were some rules that are, like, real rules about, that you got to adhere to. There are others that you know the teams break. You know they break them. Like a limited number of padded practices. And you know they're finding ways around that. You're not supposed to have contact with the coordinator in the office. You know they're finding ways around that. And again, I'm you know giving you the generalities of it. Those are going to get broken because there's no way to really bust someone. Okay, those are going to get broken. Those are the ones we're going to flip out over? Like, come on. I'm totally with you on Florio. And again,
he's
been on with this at the Super Bowl, all good,
I know.
Let that one go.
But he's a guy, and I've mostly liked his work up until, you know, the world ending. Like, he's one of these people I think you can point to, Maz, in like sports media that you could say, like, oh, you've completely, like, lost your marbles. Like, the man's lost his mind.
I think everyone has a little bit.
For sure.
Right? but you're right, it's affected, it's varying degrees. Some people have lost more of their minds than others. Like, it occurred to me on the way in today that right now, I hate everybody.
Same.
Yeah, no, I'm
a,
not.
Maz, I'm with you. It's a baseline of anger every single day.
I co-sign. For a while.
Yeah, I do. I hate everybody right now. It's just a question of degrees.
Yeah.
I love all of you guys, just to let you know.
So, like,
Shut up, McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate McCarthy a little less than I hate you and Jimmy. Like, that's just sort of part of the deal, right? Because I see you guys more frequently. But it's really all degrees of hate right now. It is. Totally. You see him like, yeah, that guy's an a-hole too. Yep, no, a-hole. Not as big an a-hole as him, but that guy's an a-hole. Can't
Sick
stand
of his
him.
Act. Get out
can't
of here.
Can't stand her. Can't stand her. Can't stand him. Can't stand that guy. Can't stand that person. It's just I like him a little bit. I mean, I hate him a little bit less than I hate that one.
It was such a perfectly timed shut up McCarthy by Jimmy.
Love it. It was beautiful. An all-timer.
I didn't even hear it. I went right through it. Talking about blowing through a stop sign.
So Maz hates me the most right now.
Yeah.
No. Did I say that? What did I say? I hate McCarthy a little bit less than I hate you.
Well,
too?
When you tune me out and you don't hear the words that are coming out of my mouth into a microphone, that signals to me that you hate me the most out of the group of five right now.
Oh, no, it's got nothing to do with that.
No,
because Felger does it to me all the time. It's something about this chair. I'm telling you, in this chair, unfortunately, you have no choice but to be focused in this chair so you don't hear anything else.
When hosts aren't listening.
It completely turns you into an a-hole sitting in this chair. It's just totally the way it works.
100%.
Oh, God. Very good, Jimmy. Jackson Auburn, Jack, go.
Let me first say I'm a Red Sox fan. 73 years old, been following them since 53 or 54. You talk about playoffs. This pitching staff isn't going to the playoffs in the Boston Pox League. I mean, they got three guys on the team that can hit. And all their stats are going to go down somewhat. They don't have bets. The only guys who offensively that can be better than last year would be Jackie Bradley and Benetton. The Vasquez had a career year, isn't going to match it. The closer last year who gave up no hits.
Okay, Jack, we get it. Jack, we get it. You're down on the Red Sox. You're down on the Red Sox. And if you're expecting Jackie Bradley to have a better year, then they're really toast. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to go that far. Look, they can hit. Let's not be stupid. They can hit.
But the pitching is going to be a dumpster.
It's fire. A train wreck.
And they're probably not going to get Eduardo Rodriguez back, right? Like, based on this reporting from Rob Bradford today.
So, Murray, you know what? I want to go into more detail on that with you. Okay, with you in particular. Let's do that in the next segment. I just want to squeeze in a call. I know Alan in Florida is a big baseball fan. Alan, go.
Yes. You know, Maz, we had a little conversation yesterday. You said I was breaking you. You know what?
Yeah.
I just want to read one.
You want to break him again?
Absolutely. I bet this is from Mr. Shaughnessy. Betty's going to be a Dodger for 12 more seasons, signing for $365. The Red Sox' inability to pony up for their best player will haunt them for years to come. Their party line, which as I say, will be the, same old bush, you know what. He wasn't going to stay here anyway. But he could have been a Red Sox player for life, well, of course I said that, if they had been willing to pay and pony up for his services.
Alan, let me ask you a question, just out of curiosity, because again, you know, they could have paid Betts if they had spent their money more wisely. No two ways about it.
They wouldn't go. You know how the Yankees.
Alan, do you think they're cheap, Alan?
No, I think they're stupid.
Okay, right. So I'm actually happy to hear you that. I'm going to let you go only because we're trying to get in as many.
Oh, my God. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
As many people as possible. 617-779-0985 for those of you that want to hop in. They're not cheap. Stupid is okay. Stupid's okay in terms of how they've spent their money. Because I there aren't a lot of people that would disagree with you. They've spent their money really stupidly. In fact, I would go so far as to say they've managed their resources poorly over the last several years. They've traded away a bunch of prospects, and when you really examine it, made some trades where they got nothing in return. Remember all those relievers they traded for? Who was the guy from Seattle? Carson Smith?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he never really pitched for them. Now, I think they give up Wade Miley in that deal. Not that that's any great shakes. But that one, you know, again, they lose
that trade.
They could have gotten something better for Miley if they wanted it. They might have lost that trade, Jimmy. You're right.
They got that Elias kid who was a left-handed pitcher who didn't do anything for him.
Right, Roenis Elias. Right. And Tyler Thornburg from the Brewers for Travis Shaw. Disaster.
Yeah.
Right? Really? I mean, they made a lot of bad trades and signed some bad contracts, which is why they're in the predicament than they are now. But I will say, I said this to someone last night on the Baseball Reporters, and I'll say it over and over again. They're not going to miss Mookie Betts this year. They're not going to miss Mookie this year. If you think they're going to miss Mookie, you're projecting. You're going to miss Mookie because you love the way that he plays and he runs around and he's fun to watch and all of that. The production with Mookie Betts never really lives up to the hype. And I'm not telling you that the production sucks. Mookie's a good player. But, Alan, if you really think Mookie Betts is going to haunt them for 12 years, you're on crack. You are completely on drugs. Out of your mind. No way. It'll be a bad contract. It might be a bad contract in 3 years. And forgive me for going down this road now, but you baited me and I took the cheese. Everybody compared Mookie to Andrew McCutchen. Until Andrew McCutchen got to age 32 and he sucked. Now, all of a sudden, last year, people started comparing Mookie to Willie Mays. Willie Mays. Maybe the greatest player in the history of the game. We're really going to compare Mookie to Willie freaking Mays? Willie Mays hit 35 or more home runs 9 times in his career. He played center field. The most important outfield position. 9 times he hit 35 or more home runs. Mookie's never done it once, and he plays right. Can people stop with this sort of stupidity and Mookie Betts? Seriously, good player, very good player. All-time great? Let's not get stupid about it. Okay, let's not get stupid. McCarthy's got your headlines.
Take that, Beetle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
People out there, you know, of course they think, Kyle's crazy, the 49ers are crazy. They said no to Tom Brady or whatever, blah, blah, blah. you know, and I try to say to people, it's not about no to Tom Brady or anything like that. You know, first off, I know you've told me a lot of positive things about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's unflappable. You know, he has the right demeanor to win. But it also seems like the team really loves Jimmy G. Like, tell us just why, what it is about him that seems to make the guys kind of gravitate towards him.
I mean, I think it starts with your talent, first of all. I mean, the way he throws the ball and stuff at practice, some of the plays he's made in games. I mean, guys believe in him. Look at our record here with him on the field and our record without him. So it starts with that. But the way he carries himself to the guys, he's always one of the guys. He's always himself. When he comes in the building, he's not the CEO of the building. He's like one of the guys. You know, they're comfortable around him. He doesn't act different. He's their age, most of our guys. I mean, he's right in the middle of the pack of everyone, and guys believe in him. I mean, when you're like 4-22 without him, and then you have his record with him, that's guys know that. And when he's gotten in, he's made plays, and it's just like the practice field. And when you have guys like that, I mean, guys are excited to play for him. And then when you're a good dude, and he'll never throw anyone under the bus, no matter what.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You see how good he is to our teammates at the press conference and everything, and they know he's got their back, and so they got his.
Is he a good radio producer? Sort of like a good football coach? He'll tailor the content for the guy who's in the a-hole chair, Murray? Yeah.
Make so it work for me.
So the Jimmy Stewart sent out our email links this morning, included Chris Sims's podcast, which, what's it called again? Unbuttoned? Is that the Chris Sims?
Unbuttoned is correct.
Unbuttoned podcast, the Chris Sims podcast. He had Kyle Shanahan on. And he asked Shanahan about, you know, the decision of Brady versus Jimmy Garoppolo. So again, that's how this started, right? The conversation, this question was, you know, I want to ask you about the whole Brady thing and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and Shanahan then goes into this answer and, you know, starts talking about Garoppolo and talks about some of Garoppolo's traits that he likes. And again, I'm saying that Jimmy Stewart teed me up on Garoppolo. And I think really I started to wonder listening to it if Shanahan didn't give us some sort of insight as to why the Niners stayed with Garoppolo over Brady. Because a lot of us looked at it and said, why wouldn't you take a shot with Brady for 2 years with that roster? Win a couple of titles, move on, especially if you have doubts about Garoppolo, which again, Jimmy, was it you who said you had heard that there was some disagreement internally on that?
Yeah, one of them really loved Garoppolo. The other one really wanted Brady. And then there's this whole thing about, well, Garoppolo was on the market, but he wanted years guaranteed. And there are all these little details that, I mean, Tom Brady was going to San Francisco. He was going to New York, he was going to Costa Rica, and then he was going to San Francisco. I know that. I feel confident in my belief in that. And then San Francisco doesn't happen. And I think it's because Jimmy Garoppolo blocked it.
And so, look, it could be.
Coach blocked it, because I think John Lynch, who's the GM there, wanted Brady more than he wanted Garoppolo.
Okay, yeah, and remember, too, that Kirk Cousins was entering the final year of his contract at the time.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was related to Cousins, that once Cousins re-upped in Minnesota,
that's what opened the door for Brady to possibly go there, because Shanahan's been lusting for Kirk Cousins, which tells you all you need to know about that guy.
Well, so I actually thought it was the opposite, Murray. And when I say that, I mean Cousins was going to be a free agent. Brady was going to be up. Then they let Brady go and bring Cousins in because Shanahan worked with Cousins. In other words, they would cut bait with Garoppolo for a couple of years with Brady, knowing that Cousins was then going to come in.
Gotcha, yeah.
Except that's just my theory. I'm not telling you I know anything. But the question was about Brady, really. It started with Brady. And so listen to the answer again.
So just before we play the sound, just to be clear, Lynch is the Garoppolo guy. Shanahan, not so much.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy's reading from his text messages. Hey, just so people are getting the visual.
He's looking at the phone.
Had to go back in time for all my text messages.
He went back to check his phone just to see exactly what
from
it was.
From March of this year.
Yeah, he keeps his text for a long time, Jimmy does.
I have to.
I know that he makes screen grabs of them and stores them.
Paper trail.
Very smart. Very smart. I should do that more frequently. Just don't ever do it with the Twitter mentions. That one will kill you. So again, listen to Shanahan talking about Garoppolo's attributes, his positive attributes. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I mean, I think it starts with your talent, first of all. I mean, the way he throws the ball and stuff at practice, some of the plays he's made in games. I mean, guys believe in him. Look at our record here with him on the field and our record without him. So it starts with that. But the way he carries himself to the guys, he's always one of the guys. He's always himself. When he comes in the building, he's not the CEO of the building. He's like one of the guys.
Stop.
You know, they don't.
Can we stop there?
And you're going to say that's a positive?
Okay, so I wonder, though, whether that was a discussion they had. Yeah, Brady's going to come in here. He's not going to connect with our guys. He's bigger than the whole operation. We get a lot of young guys here. He's going to come in here and act like the CEO. Jimmy's one of the guys.
And that's what I want a quarterback or a true leader of the team, the most important position, to act like. I think leaders.
I mean, that's why Tampa brought him in.
Yeah, leaders. Right? True leaders, especially in pro sports. I think they got to MF you a little bit. I think they need to put a little fear in you. Brady, Jordan, guys like that. You know that they have that thing. They're not there to be your friend. They're there to win again and again and again and again because they have an insatiable psychotic need to win and win and win. They're not there to make friends. I think a guy like Garoppolo, yeah, he's got the physical talents, but I think I hear that. That's a detriment. That's all I need to hear about Garoppolo. And Kyle Shanahan pumping his tires too? Well, you're a two-time Super Bowl loser too, but you're talked about as a nice guy, an easygoing coach. I think you need to put the fear of God into guys if you truly want to be looked at as a leader. You're not there. Leaders, again, in all aspects, but especially in pro sports, I really believe that. A leader needs to put a little bit of fear in you.
Jimmy, keep going.
If comfortable could. Around him. He doesn't act different. He's their age, most of our guys. I mean, he's right in the middle of the pack of everyone, and guys believe it.
Again, he's their age. So, like, I just think he's contrasting him to Brady. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hear that,
Murray,
too.
I don't disagree with you on the leadership
thing. I hear that, too, but I can't help hear, like, you know, Jimmy's also one of the guys. But, you know, now that we lost the Super Bowl, how did they take it? Yeah, bad that night, but, yeah, Jimmy will get over it. We'll get him next year, guys. Whereas Brady would stew and take names and then isolate guys. Like, you know, some people look at that as a detriment. I don't. I think true leaders, the most successful guys, your Jordans, your Bradys, people like that. Even Peyton Manning, you know, I know he failed sometimes, but Peyton Manning would, you know, light a guy up if they failed, whether it was offensive line, the stupid kicker, Vanderjack, things like that. You got to call guys out. You got to name names. Guys like that truly are truly the most successful. And that's why, I don't know, I hear that, and I don't think that's a good attribute for Garoppolo to hear. Like, hey, just one of the fellas. He's relatable. He's a nice guy. Blech.
Look, I'm not telling you that you're wrong, because I do think it's a different kind of position that requires some leadership. At the same time, given Belichick's relationship with the old man, Mike Shanahan, and his relationship with Kyle as a result of it, Brady's final year here, those attributes, the way Shanahan described him, he describes them as negatives. He doesn't walk in like the CEO. The last year or so, don't you think Brady kind of acted like the CEO? Like he was sort of above the roster? And I'm not telling you that it's right or it's wrong. I'm just telling you what Belichick's perspective of it was. And then he's the same age as everybody else, is what Shanahan says about Garoppolo. Meanwhile, the gap between Brady and N'Keal Harry was canyonesque, gigantic. And so I just wonder if, you know, if they were making a decision on Brady, did Shanahan talk to Belichick and say, you know, how was it there at the end? And Brady said he didn't relate to people anymore. The gap was too big. And whether that was a factor. And again, I am absolutely, Murray, putting stuff together that might have no connection whatsoever. But on Program As, that's what we do.
So, it's an agenda on Agenda Free Friday.
Right, that's right. I should have noted that it really is an agenda on Agenda Free Friday. So let's call it this segment is an exception to the rule on Agenda Free Friday. I'm going to get back to your calls. We'll squeeze in another call here. Ryan's in Andover. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
What do you got?
Just wanted to throw one more first pitch in there that I think would bump one of your top threes out, and it wasn't that long. Murray, you might remember this. It was in Tampa 4 years ago. Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, yeah.
Singer. You guys were saying how his went to the 3 o'clock or his went to right field. This one didn't even leave the mound.
Yeah, so Ryan, I think Murray mentioned this one, right?
I did. When I said, you know, 50 Cent, Baba Booey, Carly Rae Jepsen also came to mind. Like, those are the three I immediately go to that are, like, the worst ceremonial pitches I can think of.
Okay, while we're doing this, let's just bring in Paul in Maine, too, because he's got one, too. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hey, guys. I called a rag on Fauci, but I'll give the poor guy a break. Listen, about Mookie being an all-time great, one of the reasons I hate advanced analytics and the emphasis on sabermetrics is because of stats like the WAR. Maz, I agree with you. Mookie's a really talented player, but get this. On the all-time WAR list in Major League Baseball history, he ranks number 7 all-time. behind Babe Ruth, Mike Trout, Rogers Hornsby, Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, and Lou Gehrig. That's friggin' asinine.
Yeah, that's preposterous. That, you know what? I saw that. Paul, thank you for calling in. I saw that the other day, too. They put a list up on, I don't remember if it was the MLB Network or ESPN. Mookie Betts has the seventh highest WAR of all time. Kiss my ass with that. Seventh best player of all time. Does anyone really believe that? And I'll tell you the other problem with that metric. Because this one, I saw that. I went, that is so freaking stupid. It's ridiculous. Mookie plays right field. So his WAR is relative to other right fielders. A lot of those other guys, you look at it and say, well, wait a minute, Babe Ruth was Babe Ruth was the greatest hitter of all time in the eyes of many. Trout plays center field. Like, you WAR is largely based on people who play the same position. I cannot take that seriously. I'm sorry. Mookie Betts, not right now. He is not an all-time great. Oh, God, that one did. That pissed me off to no end. I keep saying I want to get to Eduardo Rodriguez and this ailment that he now has. And Murray has some personal experience with this. We'll tell you exactly what it is when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Pasta having practiced once here in week two of camp, with Kasha not being here at all from to this point, from an organizational standpoint, is there any either A, disappointment, or B, second guessing just at, you know, whether they didn't come here earlier than they did, whether, you know, we've seen the pictures of them out in the North End. We saw them practicing with other players at other rinks where they weren't social distancing. I mean, is there any level of wishing from an organizational standpoint that things had played out a little differently or different choices were made?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, when we had the date for when camp was started and knew that, you know, some players may need to quarantine when they get here, you kind of hoped that they would get here a little earlier, but we didn't really have much say in that, you know, and that was really left up to the players. So, you know, obviously with what's played out and transpired, you certainly would have hoped there's some different decisions made. But in the long run, I don't know if it's going to really affect us. Once we get into Toronto, I think we'll be fine.
Once again, Bruins president Cam Neely talking about David Pastrnak and Andre Kasha, presumably of which neither will be on the plane to Toronto on Sunday. So they're behind. They are behind. Which, again, they play the same position, which is a further issue. Now you're three deep on the depth chart already at right wing, assuming that you're going to have to play games without those guys at the beginning, whether it's those play-in games or whether it relates to ultimately the postseason. The way Neely says it, you think they're both going to be back in time for the postseason. It's not a perfect segue, but it's COVID-related. Gets to Eduardo Rodriguez, who was diagnosed with COVID-19, started to throw this week and got shut down. And Murray pointed this out earlier that I think it was Rob Bradford who covers the team said that the complication that Rodriguez has now had, and this is required, again, the team to shut him down yesterday, he's going to be shut down for at least a week, is a heart ailment or a virus that affects the heart called myocarditis.
Yeah, it's inflamed. It's an inflamed part of your heart, like a muscle in your heart. And it's
viral.
Yeah, well, you catch it from a viral infection, which, of course, is what COVID-19 is. But I saw it, and I was like, oh, I had this. I had this like 6-7 years ago. So
yeah, I had the disease.
It's scary because it's not just shortness of breath. It comes with chest pain. At the time, I had you know, some sort of a sinus infection that I didn't control. I was working crazy hours, didn't sleep, so it ended up going into my heart when I took, you know, I got an X-ray, EKG, all that. The doctor was like, oh, well, there's an issue here, and you hear something with your heart, freaks you out. But I also, like, was having shortness of breath and felt like someone was consistently standing on my chest. It goes away, but, you know, they pump you with antibiotics, and it eventually will take care of itself. But dealing with it, you feel fatigued. Again, it feels like, you know, the whole time, like, am I having a heart attack? What the hell's what's going on here? Anything with your heart, you have to take extremely seriously. And if not treated, it can kill you. So, you know, I feel for him, and I understand why they shut him down. I also look at this as just, you know, as someone that, you know, has to be talking about the Red Sox, and you want to see them at least have some semblance of decent pitching. He would be their best starter based on last year. I look at this and question whether or not he's going to come back at all, because I don't see the hell how he can.
And so to me, Murray, that is the number one reason why it's worth bringing up right now. Because, again, look, they're on it. They're on it. They've diagnosed it, clearly. So, like you said, if it's not taken care of, it could become more severe. They're on it. So I think Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be okay. But if you're asking me, do I think he's going to pitch this year? My answer is no. And so when I saw this today, initially when I heard he was shut down for a week, I said, well, here you go. The old rule in baseball was, and I don't know if they operate this way anymore, but I generally think that they probably do, which is however much time you miss is how much time it's going to take you to get ramped up. So remember that Eduardo Rodriguez was late to begin with, and they started to ramp him up after shutting him down 2 weeks from COVID, which means he would need 2 weeks to recover. Then he's basically a week into it, maybe not even quite, and they had to shut him down again. So now he's 3 weeks out, and now they've identified that he has myocarditis, which in and of itself is going to require recovery.
Well, and just even reading about the description and more about it online, and from reputable places, mayoclinic.org, myocarditis in mild cases, persons should avoid competitive sports for at least 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
So not even just on your timeline. You read that, and that's from the Mayo Clinic. He ain't coming back. Okay. They're not going to have Eduardo Rodriguez this year.
So this is another thing that I factor in, and I sort of felt it was going this way with Rodriguez anyway, that without him on the mound, you just lost your best starting pitcher on top of it. Think of what has happened to their rotation.
It's unbelievable.
Since last year, really. Like, some of it is bad luck. Some of it is their own stupidity. And some of it is out of, you know, financial necessity, if you want to call it. But that, you know what, that's their fault. I'm sorry. The financial necessity is their fault. Sale got hurt. He should have had the surgery. But he wasn't going to pitch this year either way. So there's a little bit of bad luck in there. But Sale was an injury.
The timing was stupid, though. They knew he should have been under the knife way before he did.
Right. But my point is he wasn't going to pitch in 2020 either way. Yeah. Right. Even if he had the surgery last November, he wasn't going to pitch this year. Then they traded Price as part of the Mookie deal. Porcello left. Now Eduardo Rodriguez got COVID. Who's left?
Nathan Eovaldi.
Eovaldi, that's it.
Martin Perez.
I mean, Ryan, it really Weber. Is. So this is why we added the starters to the wheel of gutless bums. Like, it's just one stiff after the next now out there, really. So you look at that and you say, okay, well, Eduardo Rodriguez is now a critical guy. So can they make the playoffs without him? Yes. Should they? Yes. Am I convinced of it? Hell no. Hell no. We went through that list of teams earlier in terms of who they're in contention with for one of those final spots. The first six teams look like, I don't want to say a lock, but better bets than the Red Sox. The Yankees and Astros and Twins are probably locks. And then the A's, the Indians, who am I leaving out? There's one more in there. Tampa. They're all probably better than the Red Sox. That means the Red Sox are in contention with like five other teams for two spots. I'm not convinced they're getting in. Like, and now Rodriguez, I'm with you, Murray. He's done for the year. I'd be shocked if he pitches this year. What do you got, Jimmy? Oh, I thought you were getting my attention. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's 4:02, but yeah.
Okay. Well, Jimmy was sort of giving me a little.
He's passive aggressive, which I'm really good at.
He's scolding me. What Jimmy's telling me here is that it's time for Matt McCarthy and his headlines. Longest commercial-free segment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with your calls on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.